Hey, this is Daryl Morris, listening to Bobcat Radio, KTSW, San Marcos.
And welcome back to the Friday show of Bobcat Radio. Once again, Caleb Ryan Davis here alongside Matt Hamill and Eddie Lermer. If you guys want to join the conversation, tweet us at Bobcat or at KTSW Sports using the hashtag Bobcat Radio. Matt, any luck with the Twittersphere so far? Any conversation going on?
So far, a guy named Caleb Ryan Davis has gone on saying that there's a talk show going down between 2 and 3. And if you have any questions, you should tweet hashtag Bobcat Radio. But apart from that...
That guy sounds pretty cool.
He sounds pretty well informed.
I appreciate it.
He knows when to tune into a great sports talk show.
There you go.
For sure.
Some shameless self-promotion right there. Getting into some Texas State news, the track and field team recently, the relay team, and some individuals within the track and field team have been getting it done lately. Allie Saunders and Anika Newell, they finished their Bobcat careers as All-Americans. They just finished their days at the NCAA Outdoor Championships. Saunders finished 10th in the long jump with her second best ever at 6.32 meters. She was just one place out of the opportunity to advance to the finals, but she does still have a triple jump set for 4 p.m. tomorrow. That's Saturday. Coach Keith Henderson, or Coach Keith Harrison, considers that the triple jump is going to be her best event. She does hold the best mark in that event set at the NCAA prelims, and, of course, the second best in the country. So good luck to Allie Saunders tomorrow. And, of course, as we mentioned, Anika Newell, she finishes 15th in the pole vault, finishes her career as a second-team All-American, something that she hasn't done yet. So, if you're going to go out as a Bobcat senior, that's one way to go out. It's just, you know, All-American status right there.
Or being top 25 in the nation any spot. And can I just say that this track and field team, they are the unsung heroes of Texas State athletics. They quietly get it done. They go out. They run their hearts out. God only knows how much training they put in besides the meets. And I'm just really glad we take the time to talk about them here on Bobcat Radio. I'm pretty sure this is the only place in the world where you can find Bobcat track and field coverage.
Probably, man.
You know?
I think it's probably the only place in the world you can find live, you know, like people talking about it, you know.
Exactly.
Of course, the meter relay team, however, as I mentioned, they also had a lot of success this last week at the outdoor championships. Of course, the indoor championships, you know, they happened in the fall. They had a lot of success there winning the indoor championships. But the 4x400 meter relay team, they finished up their season this Wednesday night, or they did finish it up this Wednesday night. That team, of course, includes James Hilliard, Anthony Johnson, DeMarcus Porter, and DeQuad Binder. Three of the four are juniors, and Porter is just a freshman. So these guys are going to be coming back, and you've got to be excited about that, especially as a team who, first of all, holds the second fastest time ever run at Texas State in terms of the 4x400 meter relay. But they finished second in the outdoor championships, and of course, as I mentioned, won the indoor championships. This team still has a lot to be excited about, and these guys are going to be back for at least one more year as that team.
Definitely. There's still lots of miles to be run by these college legs, if you will, and especially excited about DeMarcus Porter competing at such a high level as a freshman, also gaining some perspective from the leadership of the juniors that he's surrounding himself with. So you can only imagine as his college career develops, as more kids join the track team, they can see what it's like to be a seasoned veteran, what it's like to learn the Texas State way, success in the track and field events.
Yeah, definitely. Once again, good luck to Allie Saunders, who she's the only person left on the track and field team that still has an event. She will go tomorrow at 4 p.m. So just a huge shout-out of good luck to Allie Saunders. We're pretty confident that she always, you know, does a very good job of representing Texas State, so not concerned about that tomorrow. As we did mention, though, it was the Major League Draft this past weekend, and I know that, you know, the Monday show and the Wednesday show, they were all trying to talk about what Texas State players were going to get drafted, and it came to Wednesday, and there wasn't a player that had been drafted yet, you know, and that's something that we haven't seen in the past couple of years. Usually, there has been somebody from the team, you know, that got drafted pretty early. Well, it didn't happen this year. However, we did find two names that found their way to the draft. That, of course, Lucas Humple and Scott Grist. Humple, he goes to the Cleveland Indians in the 37th round of the draft. Grist to the Milwaukee Brewers in the 38th round. Now, this is now 13 straight years that a Bobcat has been selected in the Major League Baseball draft. These two Bobcats, the 37th and 38th in a row since Ty Herington has been at the helm of the Bobcats. But there have now been 53 total Cats selected in the MLB draft in the history of Texas State Athletics. So that's very exciting. But one little piece of analysis that I wanted to get from you guys. Okay, so Scott Grist, he is a senior. You know, he's kind of got to take the shot with the Milwaukee Brewers in the 38th round. Lucas Humphrey, however, who was the Friday night starter, is only a junior, and being drafted in the 37th round, it's great. It's great to be drafted. It doesn't happen to a lot of people. It takes a lot of work to do that. But do you guys think that Lucas Humphrey is the type of guy who could still improve over next year and maybe get a higher spot in the draft next year?
What I'll just say first is Lucas Humphrey is the 1,114th pick in the draft. Which, just shout out to GMs and Major League Baseball scouts out there. That is a hard job to do when you're looking through several thousand players just for one draft. And to be in the 37th and 38th round, like, oof. I can only imagine the sort of mental strain that must take. The MLB draft is probably the strangest of all of the drafts, because it's not like you pick a player and he just, like, goes and plays for that team. You know, there are several different development processes the player can take. Whether he even joins one of their, like, AAA or
minor league
affiliated teams. So that'd be my initial concern. Is can he even come back for another year now that he's been drafted? Can he finish his college degree?
Mm-hmm. I think. Yeah. I'm praying he comes back. Honestly.
Yeah, I would have to agree with you, Eddie. I think that, you know, being drafted that late, like I said, it's great to have that happen. But as a guy who's the Friday night starter, okay. Let's take a look at Humphrey's stats this year. As a junior, Friday night starter, he finished the year with 104 innings pitched. He started 16 games for the Cats, had 80 strikeouts, in which he's the team leader in both categories in innings pitched and strikeouts. Now, to me, a player who's that high caliber, you know, and has the opportunity to come back for a team who, let's take a look, they're going to be bringing back Teddy Hoffman, who has some power, just didn't get the chance to show it really this year. Granger Studdard, who continues to improve year by year, got to think the last year.
Luke Shirley, yeah.
Next year is probably going to be Granger Studdard's last year. I'm just going to assume that. As you said, yeah, Luke Shirley, he's got a lot of talent. There's a lot of talent, what I'm saying, is on this Bobcat team that's still producing, and you've got to think that's playing in the mind of Lucas Humphrey right now, deciding whether or not he really wants to take the shot at the majors right now or if he wants to wait another year.
I feel like at this point, he at least has that on his resume, that, hey, look, a major league team has considered me, you know, whether it's just to be a top pitching prospect for them or to be someone that serves for them in the minor leagues or even someone that comes in relief pitching. But I think, you know, and I especially feel this way about college basketball, but you got to stay in school as long as you can, soak up as many of those experiences, get in as many tournaments as you can, those ugly elimination games where you really, like, you know, it's like make or break, are you clutch, are you not clutch kind of play. So you can build as many experiences as you can, you know, and I feel like the college game is way more competitive than minor league baseball. So I feel like if he wants to use his time best, he should serve another year at Texas State.
I think he needs this, yeah. This is like the national spotlight and everything. But, you know, like that's going to make him, like, play harder and be, like, a better player. You know, Texas State has always been, like, really good at his pitching. He's really solid pitching here. Kyle Finnegan, remember him, mm-hmm. you know? Lemke, he's still here, but, you know, like, he's a great pitcher. I mean, we can all remember that. But, I mean, Lucas Humphrey, you know, Ali Saunders, all these people, all these athletes from Texas State just making all these national spotlights. You know, I think that's great.
Yeah, I don't see an option where Lucas Humphrey can really, you know, actively pursue his spot where he got drafted this season with the Cleveland Indians. A point real quick that you made a while ago is that the MLB draft does differ from other drafts in that with basketball, you do have development teams, but most of the time you really only have one. With football, you don't really have minor leagues, so the guys that get drafted, they're pretty much on the team right there. With hockey, they've got a development league, but once again, it's really only one team. Major League Baseball, I know the Rangers, they've got at least five development teams. That's not even including the teams that basically just hang out in spring training all year. So it's very difficult to, you know, move up in an organization. And to me, I really think that he can develop a lot more here. First of all, under the tutelage of Coach Ty Harrington, and under Jeremy Fikoch, who's already taken his experience from the majors and brought it to Texas State.
Plus, he's our number one guy. So if he stays for another year, he's going to continue to be the Friday night starter and continue to be the number one guy. If he pursues his Major League Baseball career, this is when the competition really begins for him, and it begins, you know, when he gets compared to all the other pitchers in the lineup, all the other same-handed pitchers. Forgive me for not knowing what hand he throws with right this second. But all the other pitchers he's got to compete with, not to mention, you know, just what team he's going to be on. If he's going to be on a team that's playing relevant baseball, or if he's going to be stuck on a team that's just rebuilding. I definitely think the stage is set for him to, you know, go out in a blaze next season as a senior year, the leader of the pitching staff. Thoughts on Scott Grist?
Yeah,
good
so
for him.
So yeah, Scott Grist was he's a player that, you know, obviously I guess now it's 2 years ago if we're counting this past season, had to sit out the entire season because of an injury, and he worked his way back, got all the way back to the, you know, that starting spot, and had a lot of success. You know, he was the guy that sometimes whenever Humple was off, Grist was the guy that, you know, that was able to come back day two and was able to get the Bobcats back in the series. And so yeah, he was a very good guy for the Bobcats, and I think it's great that he got drafted. I think it speaks to not only the talent that he has, but the devotion that he brings to the table in terms of getting back to the game. I think there's a lot of teams that look at guys that get not necessarily pushed down, but they have to face adversity, and if a guy comes back from that adversity and still wants to play baseball and can still play at that level, that's crazy, and that's something that a lot of teams look at.
And I feel like a lot of teams also get scared of that exact same thing you just mentioned. A player, you know, he gets an elbow injury or he hurts his knee, and all of a sudden GMs and executives look at this player's, you know, scouting report and think, oh, well, he suffered a major injury. You know, it's key what happens after that injury. If after the injury he reverts, he doesn't play as well, he's not the same player, then his draft status just plummets. But if post-injury there's signs of improvement or there's consistency with the pre-injury status, then that looks like a solid draftable player. And I think Scott Grist sort of fit that very well.
He ended his year really well.
He did. His final
with
two
Arlington,
starts.
You know what he did with Arlington? He graduated. He got his diploma that same afternoon. He had to play a complete game against Arlington just for a good standing in the Sun Belt, and I mean, that's awesome.
And there was the game he pitched in the Sun Belt Conference tournament. I believe it was also against UT Arlington. It was a complete game complete game for him. So he really ended the season with a little bit of a flair. I believe he was the Sun Belt Pitcher of the Week for 2 weeks in the month of May. So he really did a lot in the very, very last chances he got as a Texas State Bobcat. So congratulations to him. Both Bobcats who got drafted, and
yeah.
We were doing some digging into all of the Sun Belt players who had been drafted.
Yeah, well, one more point that I want to make real quick.
Okay.
That I just want to hit home. Lucas Humble was selected as the preseason pitcher of the year. Not you know, just player whatever, but the preseason pitcher of the year. And in my opinion, he didn't hold that up. He had a good year, but he was not the Sun Belt Conference Pitcher of the Year. That wasn't the type of year that he had. And I think that as a player, if he has no other argument other than just to come back and prove that he's eligible to be a Pitcher of the Year and that he could put up those numbers, do that. Anyways, as you were saying now.
Yes. The Sun Belt Conference, we did some digging. Well, Eddie did.
Yeah.
He did most of the dirty work. And we found some pretty interesting things about overall the Sun Belt Conference tournament, or the Sun Belt Conference players that were drafted, in that, if we're not mistaken, there's only one Louisiana Lafayette player that was selected.
Yeah, to my shock, yeah. 10 pitchers, though.
That one player that was drafted was not surprising at all. He's a player that should have gone, but he's projected to go in the top 25. That didn't happen. Blake Trahan, Louisiana Lafayette, he was drafted the third round, 84th overall to the Cincinnati Reds. But overall, 21 student athletes drafted from the Sun Belt Conference, and that's a great number to look at right there, because it's something that, you know, it seems like every single year Texas State keeps getting bigger. You know, they keep increasing not only their awareness, but they keep increasing their skill within the Sun Belt Conference, and at the same time, the Sun Belt Conference is a team that's expanding as well, you know, and that's exciting to see. And, you know, while, once again, Texas State only had two players drafted, as a fan of the Sun Belt Conference as a whole, you want more guys getting drafted, and 21 for a conference that's this small is a really good number, in my opinion.
I want to compare it to the ACC with football. You know, like, I feel like the Sun Belt is probably like the baseball SEC, you know. So the Sun Belt is pretty heavy on baseball and softball, and 21, like, first-year player draft, you know, like, that's Major League Baseball. That's got to say something about. And even with Texas State, you know, like, TCU has, like, 8 people drafted. Houston as well. Rice has 7. Baylor has none, which, I mean, it doesn't surprise me, but Baylor's in the Big 12, you know? Like, the Sun Belt, Texas State, I mean, you want them to be good, and they are getting better.
Yeah, but. And to me, Baylor's a team that's a very good team. You know, they don't have a lot of standout guys, but they're a good team.
They're like,
you know?
UTSA.
Okay,
you know?
Yeah. Like, I mean, I don't know that I'd say that, but
I mean, they play well. They don't have, like, individual members that you could point at and be like, that's a lockdown outfielder, that's a great pitcher. But as a team, they get together, they play collaboratively, and they win games. Baylor, it was a similar situation. It is kind of cool that we beat them in draft picks. We also beat them in games this year. Like, yeah. It was a good year for us.
It was not a good year for Baylor. That was. Last person that I wanted to highlight right here in the Sun Belt Conference draft, Levi Scott. He played with UT Arlington, but he's a great friend of mine back home in Burleson, Texas. Congrats, buddy. You got drafted the 28th round, 842nd overall to the Toronto Blue Jays. I cannot wait to see him in a Blue Jay jersey. I've got tons of stories I've just got tons of stories of these monstrous home runs that he hit in high school, and he hit a couple against the Bobcats this last series. So very exciting all around for the Sun Belt Conference as a whole.
He's got to get his work visa stuff in shape now.
All right, the last note before we head into the 30 break. Chandra Dorsey, she is returning to her role as the associate head coach for Texas State women's basketball. She had a one-year vacation with Wichita State and now returns. Before that, she had spent 3 seasons as the Bobcats assistant coach and recruiting coordinator. And the one thing that I want to end on right here is I believe in Coach Z, and if Coach Z wanted to bring her back, then I'll welcome her back with open arms. So welcome back, Chandra Dorsey. Now, before we head into the next segment of Bobcat Radio, of course, we've got all kinds of NBA, a little bit of NPF, MLB, NHL. Are there any more N's that I forgot? Oh, NCAA, College World Series. We haven't even talked about that yet.
And National U.S. Men's Soccer.
That
begins
right.
With an N, if you frame it the right way.
All right, but before we get there, what is the weather looking like, Matt?
Well, it's kind of a weird day today. It is mostly cloudy, but the temperature's in the 90s, but it feels a little bit warmer than that. It feels like 95 degrees. It is very humid. It's about 50% humidity out there, and the wind is blowing around 10 miles an hour. Expect temperatures to stay at about the same, and we do have occasional thunderstorms likely to begin at around 6:30 p.m., and with those thunderstorms, the humidity will definitely go up. But it looks like temperatures will drop into the lower 80s. As the evening progresses, maybe dip into the 70s way later tonight. That's all for the Bobcat Radio edition of the weather. Stay tuned for the national sports stories right here on KTSW 89.9.